Every person in this room knows what it's like to be frustrated. There's nobody in this room that's like, oh my gosh, I can't relate, because you've been frustrated. I'll give you an example. This has probably never happened to you, but this week I got a text message that just didn't excite me very much. In fact, it took me from zero to pissed off in about less than 2 seconds. How many people have the ability to go there? Okay, yeah. The rest of y'all, man, you look so beautiful this morning with your halos and your wings, and we're so glad your angelic presence is here. And when I got the text, and you've done this before, the answer formed in my head. And as I was typing it, my hands were shaking. Have you ever done this? And you know the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't hit the sin button. Don't hit the sin button. And you hit it anyway and go, God forgive me, right? And that didn't turn out too good. The result was a text. You ever gotten a text argument? Yeah, and then emojis and all that stuff. It was great. It's wonderful. The very next day, I got another one, different person. And it turned out a little bit different, because I had the, oh gosh, doesn't it just stink sometimes when you have the best response ever and God's going, nope. And you're like, God, why did you give me the gift of being a smart aleck? Because I'm getting ready to send it, and God's like, nope, wait. Like, I don't want to wait. Wait. So I didn't send it. And the next day, I felt about the same, but the way I was going to express myself was very different. And I kind of came up with this little formula, and this works for me, maybe it'll work for you. When you get frustrated, don't respond immediately, because we always regret those responses. When you get frustrated, wait, and frustrated, meditate, which means it's not Buddhism, okay? It's not Buddha. There's nothing Buddhist about me except my belly, so there's nothing Buddhist, okay? Frustrate, meditate, and then respond. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because I'm going to do something today that I have not done in the history of our church. I'm frustrated. There's no punchline. I'm frustrated. And I've been frustrated for about a month. So this isn't like something happened this week and I'm just going off. By the way, if this is your first week, hope you'll come back next week. I'm not normally like this. But I'm frustrated, because we got too many question marks. The second chance. What are you talking about, Pastor P? Well, with church attendance, there are too many people in our church that church attendance is kind of optional, depending on the weather and how you feel. Now, I'm preaching to the choir, and there are people in this church, this is so funny, if they're not coming on Sunday, they'll text me Saturday. Hey, man, I want to let you know. You know why they do that? Because they know I'm texting them Sunday afternoon. Missed you today. Pastor, how could you know who is here and who is not here? Y'all sit in the same spot every week. Every week, y'all sit in the same spot. Y'all have not moved. One week, there was a couple that moved from over here to over here, and it messed me up the whole message. I was like, what? This is revival. Oh, my gosh. But I'm not talking to people in the room. I'm talking about the people at home. There are people. And I'm not talking about the people in Mississippi and Alabama. I'm talking about you live in Anderson. And you're watching online because there was a thunderstorm last night. No, I'm serious. There's a thunderstorm last night, and you're like, oh, I can't go because it might be dangerous. But if it was a Clemson game, you would have sat in the thunderstorm to watch the game. Frustrated. I'm frustrated at people who have been attending for a long time, and you're not serving. Oh, yeah, I told you we were going there today. I'm frustrated. And let me tell you why I'm frustrated, because this is your excuse. I'm just busy. Newsflash. Every single volunteer we have in this church are busy. None of our volunteers called us and said, hey, Pastor P, I ain't got nothing to do. I ain't got a life. Yes, come please. We would come. We would love to put you to work doing something. The reason I bring that up is there are people, you show up every week, and I'll say something, and you're like, yeah, I need to do something about that, and you're not going to do it. While I'm at it, let's talk about giving. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. I got one. Let's go. Let me be real honest with y'all. When I get up here and say thank y'all for being generous, I'm only talking to 20% of the people in the room because 80% don't give a dime. And if you're going to pull, oh, you just after my money. Listen, if you have been around here for a minute, you know that's not me. I ain't got it. Well, is that an iPhone 16 you got? How much is your car payment? How much you give to Netflix, Hulu, Paramount Plus? How many subscription services? My God, if we would just give to the church what we gave as a car payment and a Netflix, we would be able to like have enough money to, I don't know, reach the world. Amen. Frustrated. Because there are some people, you gotta decide whether you're gonna play games or get real about this thing. It's your decision. And let me tell you why I'm frustrated. I'm not frustrated because I want more people serving and I want more money. I'm frustrated because I, believe it or not, I love you so much and I don't want for you to be stuck in your walk with Jesus. And I don't want to create a church. I don't want to create an environment where you feel comfortable telling Jesus no every single week. I don't want that. Now some of y'all are like, okay, he got triggered. And you're kind of right. Even though I hate that word because we overuse it. Oh, I'm triggered. No, your Starbucks drink got messed up. You're not triggered, you're a brat. And the drink's $10. My God, drink black coffee, you'd be much happier. The thing that triggered me though is we got a baptism service coming up. And you're like, well, why would that trigger you? It's because every baptism service we've ever had in this church, the same thing happens. I'm just tired. I'm frustrated. Let me tell you what happens. By the way, if you've never been to one of our baptism services, they're amazing. We partay. Crazy things have happened in the baptism services. I mean, we got a blooper reel that we should show because it's amazing. But for the next week or two after every baptism service, this is the conversation I have. Somebody comes up to me and they go, Pastor P, man, that last baptism service was amazing. I'm like, well, thank you so much. Yeah, I know I should have gotten baptized. I just didn't do it. Now, I'm going to own this because evidently I'm not casting vision or teaching it well enough. But the reason this bothers me is because the good news is that we've seen 721 people accept Christ this year. This year. And we got 35 signed up for baptism. So we got some decisions to make as individuals. Because I'm telling you, as the pastor of this church, I'm going to remove any question mark that anybody has about me today. And I want when people see us, followers of Jesus that attend Second Chance, I don't want them to see question marks. I want them to see exclamation points. And you get to decide how people see you. There's a passage in Ezekiel, which I know so many of you were reading Ezekiel this morning. You're like, man, I just love me some Ezekiel. Ezekiel's good and confusing as well, but there's a passage in Ezekiel. And I remember the first time I came across this passage, it was 1996, and I was having a bad day. And then I came across this passage. And it starts out like this. It says, son of man, your people talk about you in their houses and whisper about you at their doors. And this is before social media, okay? You are trending on Facebook. He said, they say to each other, come on, let's go hear the prophet tell us what the Lord is saying. And what this verse shows us, point number one, is following Jesus begins with me being interested. Now, every one of us knows something about being interested. If you play golf, you got interested. Somebody got you interested in golf. If you love to cook, somebody got you interested in learning how to cook. I'm just kind of curious of the couples that are here, okay? You're a couple. Point to the person. Talk about tension. I'm about to create some tension. Point to the person that was, who was interested in who first? Point to the person that was interested in you. Point, who was interested first? Cole, you were interested in Addie first? Okay, that's what I heard. Anybody? Okay, do this. How many people are single? How many people are single? Just raise your hand. All right, other people, look around, see if you're interested. I'm just trying to help y'all out. Some of y'all's hand came down quick. There was somebody over here and went, hi. It starts with an interest. And I'm super glad because, listen, the reason you're here today or maybe the reason you walked in for the first time is because you were interested. Now, I don't know what you were interested in because different people show up to church for different reasons. Maybe you were interested in the person that brought you to church. That happens, and that's a good thing. Maybe you're interested in learning more about God, learning more about Jesus. Maybe you were interested in learning more about the Bible. Maybe you were interested in, I don't know, learning how to take some steps in your life to improve the quality of your life. I don't know why you showed up here or in Columbia. I don't know why you're here. I'm just glad you're here because interest is that thing that draws us in. But it has to go beyond being interested because if some people, unfortunately, and I'm not just talking about here, all across, we stop with being interested. And being interested is a good thing, but it takes more than interest to make it work in any relationship, including our relationship with Jesus. So the next verse says, now y'all are not gonna believe this, especially for those that think that the Bible is an old and outdated book. This is insane. I cannot believe there was a group of people that used to do this. Watch. So my people come pretending to be sincere. Can you believe that? That once upon a time in the history of the world, there was a group of religious people that gathered together to listen to somebody preach, and they were pretending they were sincere. Man, we made some progress in the past 3,500 years, hadn't we? He said, so my people come pretending to be sincere. And said, now if you're the prophet, this isn't what you want to hear from God. You want to hear you're doing a good job and you're changing lives, but God's like, yeah, some of these people ain't right. Southern translation. So my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. Then he goes on to say, their mouths are full of lustful words and their hearts seek only after money. In other words, they're just kind of messed up a little bit, which that's all of us, including the guy on stage. Which leads to number two, but it only makes a difference when I become intentional about saying yes to him. When we walk with Jesus, we got to move from being interested to being intentional. And that's what takes us from a question mark to an exclamation point. Years ago, I had a problem with sleep. And when I say I had a problem with sleep, it wasn't like I would wake up in the middle of the night for like 30 minutes and go back to sleep. I went to bed one night and didn't sleep at all, whatsoever. No, you know how people are like, I didn't sleep at all last night. And they did, but they're just trying to be dramatic. I'm just telling you, I didn't sleep. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, if you've ever experienced this, you're so mad at yourself. Just sleep. How hard is it? Warm milk, cold milk, every kind of milk. I mean, I was, y'all, I was trying everything. And this was before I was drinking. So I just couldn't sleep. Next day I got up, and I don't know about y'all, but if your boy don't get some sleep, whoo, I get angry. After three nights of this, because I'm so wise and discerning, I thought I should probably seek the help of a medical professional. So I went to see my doctor. And she was like, okay, let's go through the list. You know, how this. And she said, how much coffee are you drinking per day? And I said, somewhere between 15, 20 cups. And she looked at me and she's like, I think I just discovered your problem. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I said, what is it? She said, you're drinking enough coffee to stimulate a horse to win the Kentucky Derby, dude. Like, you have got to. And I was like, no, I don't think that's it. So we had this conversation where she said, I know you're here because you're interested in sleeping, but if you don't get intentional about cutting back on the coffee, your sleep's never gonna come. And so for me, I had to make a decision that day. Am I gonna be intentional on doing what the doctor told me to do? And I was. And it was difficult when you're used to drinking that much coffee every day. I'm down to two cups a day now. Two cups a day per hour. But no, seriously, two cups a day, that's all I have. But I had to be intentional when I left. The same thing is true for us in our walk with Jesus. I'm interested in taking my next step. Great. Let's get intentional. God, show me what that next step is, and I will take it. Whether it's to give, whether it's to serve, whether it's to confess a sin, whether it's to ask for help, or whether it's to go public and be baptized. God, if you say to do it, I will do it. The answer is yes, because you're not just my Savior, you're my Lord, you're my leader, and I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, period. So, then this next verse, this next one, said, you are very entertaining to them. Now, I want to pause real quick, because I've had people tell me, you know, Pastor P, if you weren't a preacher, you could make it as a stand-up comedian. And I don't think I could, because I watch those guys. The way they are able to deliver and some of the stuff, I couldn't do what they do. And besides, this is what I'm called to do. I've had people tell me I don't like coming to your church. Why? Because people laugh too much. You're gonna hate heaven if you get there. I mean, I like that. Those are just the thoughts that run through my head. And I work hard on the messages that I bring. I really do. But my goal when I'm bringing a message is not to make people, my goal is to keep you engaged. And the reason I want to keep everybody engaged is because my prayer every single week is that somehow God would take this broken vessel, take his word and use my vocal cords to get it to our hearts and our minds so that what needs to be changed can change so we can take another step forward in our walk with Jesus. I honestly don't care who loves it or who hates it. I just want us to be engaged by the living and active Word of God. So you're very entertaining to them, like someone who sings love songs. Okay, that's where you don't see me in that, because I don't, with a beautiful voice, and or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it. I'm just asking, what's it gonna take for you? For you, for you, for you in Columbia, for you watching online, but should have your butt in the house. You know who I'm talking to? You know exactly who I'm in your living room. Hey, Alexa, give to Second Chance. We just paid the building off. I'm glad you love church. I love this church. When I wear I love my church shirt, I can wear it and I don't have to lie. I love this church. I never thought I would get to do this again. I'm blown away that people even show up. But it's not about showing up. It's about us opening up to whatever God wants to do in our individual lives. Because I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't want to build a big building. I want to build great people. And we become great as we say yes to Jesus one step at a time. Because, number three, Christianity is not about convenience. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about some convenience in my life. Pay at the pump is one of the greatest things that gas stations have ever, because I'm an introvert, okay? I don't want to talk to people. That pastor, you heard the pastor, I was on a plane one time and I sat down next to somebody and loved the Lord. Not me. I got my headphones on, I won't even talk. It's weird. Because I'm married to Shannon, and she's like, baby, talk to me. And I'm like, I can't. I'm on a plane. I can't. I'm an introvert. I'm an introvert. So if I pull up and some of you, you're with me, you are my people. Because I'm about to describe you. If I pull up to a pay at the pump and get out of my car and the pump says, please see cashier, nope. Nope. Who are my people? Who are with me? Yes. If my car's out of gas, I will push it to the next gas station because I don't want to see the cashier. I want to see the pump, and I want to hit no four times. I don't want your reward. I don't want 5 cents off. I don't want that. I want some gas. So I love convenience. Everybody in this room, you love convenience, right? For those of y'all my age, y'all remember the first remote control we had in our house? It was wired to the TV. Before that, if you were the remote control. You, your dad would be like, change that channel, boy. And there was only like four channels, but we stood there. And y'all remember the rabbit ears? Y'all remember the rabbit ears? Uh-huh. Some of you are going to have to Google this. I'm just saying, I love convenience. But if we're going to follow Jesus, we're following a man that said, if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross. Not your mattress, your cross. And Jesus' original invitation was come and see. Come and see. If you're interested, come and see. But you know what his next invitation was? Come and die. Die to yourself so you can become the person that I want you to be. And his third invitation was go and tell. Because we've got the best message in the world. And we got a world that's more desperate to hear it than ever before. So we got to decide, are we going to be about convenience? Or number four, here we go. But rather a commitment to continually say yes to Jesus. It's not about a convenience, but rather a commitment to continually say yes to Jesus. I'm asking you today, right now, with your next step in this room and in Columbia, are you ready to say yes to your next step? Because most people know what your next step is. People try to play, we all try to play spiritually dumb. I know you're not spiritually dumb people. You're not. You know what your next step is. But I don't know. And I'm going to focus here just for a minute. If you've heard this before, it's fine. I'm going to focus on baptism. Because I don't want that. I'm telling you, don't hit me up with a, I know I should have done it but didn't. Because I will take you to the toilet. We will get you in there. Let me tell you the main reasons that the main excuses that we get for I'm not gonna get baptized. Letter A is I've already done it. I got baptized when I was a baby. I got baptized when I was 4. I got baptized when I was 8. My grandpa's church. My grandma told me to go do it, so I did it. Listen, baptism in the Bible, every baptism in the New Testament is by immersion after salvation. If it wasn't your choice, it was not your baptism. I'll say it again. If it wasn't your choice, it wasn't your baptism. It was a dedication for your parents, and they celebrated it. But if you have raised your hand in a service, at the end of the service, indicating that you have prayed to receive Christ, and you haven't been baptized since you've raised your hand, it's time. It's time to get it done. It's time to move from a question mark to an exclamation point and say, I am a follower of Jesus. I've had a few people, well, I did it, but I wasn't saved. Well, it didn't mean anything. That's like buying a wedding ring and not being married. If you pray to receive Christ and you haven't been baptized yet, this card right here, this exclamation point, I want you today to move from a question mark to an exclamation point. In the back, it's like name, email, and cell. Those are real easy questions. Here in Columbia, you're going to get a chance to fill that in. Because, y'all, I'm tired. I'm tired of people saying, I know I should have done it, but I didn't do it. My goal today, please, Jesus, is that you would be so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. See, it's working. Let it be. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. You ever heard somebody say that? Okay. I'm not ready. If Jesus has revealed this is your next step, you're ready.
That's right. Amen.
You're ready. You know the problem with this? Is this word right here. I'm. It's all about me. That right there. If you have prayed to receive Christ, you're ready. That's the only, the reason I say this, oh God, you know what? I don't care, screw it. There are churches out there that have classes that you have to go through before you're baptized. Okay, the only problem is, nobody that got baptized in Acts chapter 2 could have been baptized according to these churches because none of them went through a class. Peter preached a message and they were like, I don't want to follow Jesus. And they were like, let's get them dunked. Kaboosh, 3,000 in a day. No class. What made them ready? We believe Jesus. We want Jesus to be Lord. Which leads, and this is the one, I'm going to lean in on this one. I'm not worthy. Now, the dangerous thing about this one is it's kind of true. None of us are on our own. I've had so many conversations over the years with people about getting baptized. And they say, I'm not ready. Why? I'm so messed up. What do you mean? Well, I'm just messed up. Define messed up. And then the confession list, my gosh. It's unreal. Well, I'm drinking, I'm smoking, I'm watching porn, I'm doing drugs. And I'm like, you're in the sixth grade. I know, and it just keeps. It's intense, but there are people in this room, and there are people in our Columbia campus, you want to get baptized. But you don't feel like you're worthy because you know not only what you do, but what you think about doing. And I get it. More than likely, it's because you've ran into somebody that's religious. And you know what religious people do? And I heard somebody say this, somebody much wiser than me, but once I heard it, I couldn't unhear it. You know what religious people do? They size you up and they write you off based on one of the worst moments in your life. How stupid is that? Nobody here would walk into a, let's say you got to watch 15 seconds of a Harry Potter movie. Nobody who watched 15 seconds of a Harry Potter movie would walk out and go, I know the entire plot. How insane would that be? What's the plot? An elf named Dobby died. By the way, y'all, that broke my heart. It made me cry when Dobby died. I'm serious. It messed me up. I couldn't watch it. Nobody would do that because it's 15 seconds of multiple books, multiple movies, right? So why would we allow people to define us by our worst moments? Because Jesus doesn't. Jesus, when he describes people who belong to him, he uses words like washed, cleansed, changed, made new, transformed, alive. It's right. We're not worthy on our own, but because of who Jesus is, what he has done in our life, what he's promised to do in our life, Jesus Christ makes us worthy. So it's not about, when we get baptized, we're not claiming to be perfect. We're claiming, even though I'm not perfect, I accepted Jesus and I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life to the best of my ability. We got to stop this, y'all. In fact, I had a t-shirt made just for today. Exclamation point. We got to move. I probably got sweat stains. I don't even care. I would throw this out in the crowd, but then Pastor B taking off his clothes and throwing them in the crowd. So, plus I need it for the rest of the services. This is what I want for us. I want us to be exclamation points in this community. Dads, I want you to be exclamation points in your homes. Moms, I want you to be exclamation points in your homes. Some of y'all are like, she is an exclamation point. That's not what I'm talking about. Today's the day where many of us, I'm praying all of us, decide to move from a question mark to an exclamation point. And it's not easy. I'm gonna say it again, it's not easy. Because if it were easy, you wouldn't struggle with it so much. And you know who we gotta look to when it comes to struggling through things? We gotta look to this man named Jesus. And I wanna show y'all something this week that I've never taught on this because I've never seen it. And it blew my, I didn't see this till Monday. And I've been working on this message for a month. And Monday was like, God was like, check this out. I was like, that is good. He's like, I know, because I'm God. You're not. That's how we talk. If you're familiar with the story of Jesus and the night before his crucifixion, you're familiar with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, correct? Yes, you know the story? And we're very familiar with this passage in Matthew 26, 39, which says, he went on a little farther and bowed his face to the ground. Now, I just want to pause. Talk about humility. I mean, is he real? Is he serious? Or is he just showing up to be seen? No, this is serious stuff. And he prays, my Father, if it is possible, pause. Jesus was fully God and fully man. You know how we know? He said the word if. Just a few chapters earlier, a guy brought his son to Jesus and said, if you can heal him. And Jesus said, if. All things are possible for those who believe. But right here, he's identifying with us. He's showing us, if you're struggling, that's why we got to turn to Jesus, because he leads us through that struggle. He said, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. In other words, he's going, God, if it's possible, the betrayal, the beating, the spiritual, the emotional, the physical damage that I'm about to endure, if it's possible, please take it away. And we've all prayed that prayer. I've prayed that prayer. God, if it's possible, God, I don't want to go through this. This sucks. It hurts. We've prayed it before. But then he says that famous part, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. That's following Jesus. prayer is not getting God in on our agenda. It's us getting in on God's agenda for our lives. Now, this is remarkable, but it doesn't end here. Because we always look at that verse and go, man, that's good, Jesus. That's great. Not my will, but yours be done. But what I've missed for years is Jesus didn't just pray this one time. Just a few verses later, the Bible says, then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken unless I drink it, your will be done. He prayed it a second time. You see that? You're like, man, Jesus prayed it two times? Nope, because just a verse or two later, it says, so we went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. He modeled for us, Father, your will be done in my life. Your will be done in my life. Your will be done in my life. That prayer, prayed over and over again, will change everything about us. In fact, the last point, your will be done. Prayed over and over will absolutely change my life for the better. Your will be done. Prayed over and over will absolutely change my life for the better. And I want you to hear my heart as I wrap up today. I'm frustrated. I'll be good next week. I'll be happy Perry again. But I'm not, listen, I made God a promise. I'm gonna do this no matter who shows up, no matter how big or small the building is, no matter how big or small the budget is. I'm doing this because I love seeing, listen, I'm still an addict. I'm just addicted to changed lives. And I love you so much that I don't want you to feel comfortable saying no to Jesus every time he tells you to move. I fight with it too, y'all. God, I fight with it too. But I want you in this room in Columbia today, I want you to say yes. So, bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a second. Jesus, I just want to ask you over these next few moments that you would give us the courage to take our next step, do what you've called us to do. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to invite you right where you sit. And listen, this is up to you because I'm not going to ask you to do it out loud. I'm going to ask you to do it silently. But I'm going to challenge you to do what we just saw Jesus do three times and say, Father, your will be done in my life. Father, your will be done in my life. Father, your will be done in my life. Because as we pray this, he's going to move us. Not from bad to good, but from dead to alive. And if you're in this room and in Columbia, and you know baptism is your next step, I want you to fill this card out right now. Right now, just go ahead and start filling it out. Just go ahead and start filling it out. Just go ahead and start filling it out, because in a minute, we're going to come forward and lay them on the stage. And if you're in Columbia, you're going to come forward and put them in the baskets, saying, taking my next step. May 25th. Going public, getting dunked, doing it, saying yes to Jesus. I'm not going to be that guy that says, I wish I would have done it. I'm not going to be that girl that says, I wish I would have done it. I'm going to move from a question mark to an exclamation point. Y'all stand and let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. I want to thank you for every single person in this room, every single person in Columbia. And I want to thank you for every person that's watching online. God, that we today, right now, we would say yes with heads still bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you've never asked Christ into your life, and you show up every week and you know that prayer, you should pray it, but you don't, today's your day. Today's your day. Stop freaking playing games. We're not talking about what you're going to do next weekend. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about an abundant life. Jesus is here, and he's offering us immeasurably more than any of us could ever ask for or imagine. So if you want to pray to receive Christ today, today's the day. Today's the day. Today is the day of salvation. So if that's you, I'm going to invite you to pray and ask Jesus into your life. I'm going to ask you to say the prayer out loud because I want you to hear yourself declare these words. And just like every week, our entire Second Chance family, we're going to pray this prayer with you so you'll know you're encouraged and supported by everybody in this room. So let's pray together. If you want to pray to receive Christ, let's get this done. Say, Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and you rose from the grave to pay for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, if you just prayed that prayer, if you just asked Jesus to come into your life without even looking around, as soon as I count to three, when I hit three, I want you to put your hand straight up in the air because I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you and I want to celebrate with you. Here we go. One, two, three. If you just prayed, keep them up, 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 keep them up. This is great. In Columbia, put them up, put them up. You can't see me. Yeah, but God can. Keep it up. Keep it up. Oh my gosh, I see couples. I see, yes, this is amazing. Now, if you got your hand raised, look at me in just a second. I'm gonna pray for you. But what you should start doing is filling out that card because your next step is to get baptized. And we've got one scheduled. And you say, well, I've already done it. You just prayed to receive Christ. Guess what? You get double dunked. You're gonna do it again because it's time. Listen, church, it's time to move from a question mark to an exclamation point. Jesus, I pray for every single person here that said yes to you today, God, that they would walk out of this place with a sense of peace and purpose unlike they've never had before. And Jesus, for those that know they should have moved, God, I pray they see exclamation marks everywhere this week. I pray they can't escape them. I pray they pop up in just random places. I pray for the person here that needs to get baptized, but I also pray for the person here that needs to forgive, that needs to ask for help, that needs to confess a sin, that needs to start giving, that needs to start serving, that needs to take their next step. Jesus, you call us to these things that are uncomfortable so we can experience the supernatural. May we step into your power knowing that we can't do it on our own, but Jesus, in you we can do all things because you strengthen us. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your power. Thank you that you never leave us alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody that agreed said amen. I'm so glad you came to church today. I can't wait to see y'all next week.